What's up, it's Chase Young.
What's up, this is Terry McLaurin.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You're listening to the Washington Football Talk Podcast. This is the last game preview podcast of the season. Kind of a bummer, but maybe it means better news is coming. Maybe the last game preview of the 2022 season won't happen in week 18. Boys can hope. This is the Washington Football Talk Podcast.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
What up, everybody? It's JP Finley. It's the Washington Football Talk Podcast. Joined by Mitch Tischler, Pete Haley. We're brought to you by Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Want you to do the exact same thing. Check them out online, OrsmanVA.com. Boys, we got a real barn burner in our hands. The 6-10 Washington football team traveling to New York to take on the 4-12 New York Giants. I had Pat Leonard, who covers the Giants, does a really good job for the New York Daily News on the radio show. And I said to him, without any hint of irony, I don't get to say this to many other reporters, but the team you cover, the Giants, are a bigger train wreck than the team we cover, the Washington football team. And I think it's accurate.
Yeah, it depends on if Joe Judge and Gettleman come back. If there's a combination of one of them coming back, that'd be pretty disappointing for Giants fans. One difference is they have a name, but Washington will have that within the next month, which will be good. So, yeah, the NFC East, it's not even – Washington isn't even the worst team out of the four in this division. So we really got to keep that in perspective and realize how fortunate we are.
Yeah. Joe Judge has been one of the Giants under Joe Judge have been atrocious. They've been one of the worst teams. They've been the worst team in the NFL offensively, despite, you know, spending so many draft picks on O-line and quarterback and all that. And they've been – they've been bad, and Washington should be able to take advantage of it on Sunday and end on a high note.
They stink. We'll see what happens. And keep this in mind as we sit here and dunk on the Giants. Washington only beat them because a guy fake jumped off sides on a last-second field goal way back in week 2. Keep that in mind. Pete, run us through injuries and COVID, what we know about who's going to be playing in this game.
Yes, so practice on Thursday just wrapped. It is 2:08 p.m. in the afternoon. Sadiq Charles didn't practice. Hope you guys – it's good that you guys are sitting down for this one. Curtis Samuel didn't practice. Ricky Seals-Jones didn't practice. And Montez Sweat was still not out there. We haven't seen him since the sad death of his brother. Antonio Gibson was limited. He's off COVID but has a hip issue. James Smith-Williams limited. And then Samus Reyes pulled up lame during individual drills. He has a hamstring injury, but we just got off the Zoom with him. He says he's good to go. Sam Cosmi, full participant. And, of course, Tress Way is back. And, by the way, JP has an interview with Tress Way at the end of this podcast where he talks about the name, he talks about the season, he talks about missing that game. So, Tress, it's a tremendous way to end the season by having one last catch-up with the Pro Bowl punter.
Pete had a good question in there, too, about the show. I enjoyed
Thank you.
That. So, it's stupid, right? Like, this game is meaningless. I don't want to really preview this game too much, but I do want to have the debate with you guys if you think they should win or play for the draft pick and try to lose. Once football players are on a field, they will never try to lose. It's too physical of a game. But the powers that be that can control things by only allowing certain players onto the field. What do you think should happen, big man?
I think they should try and win this game. I think that you're talking about a difference of maybe 5 draft picks, draft slots, depending on what happens with the other teams. And to jump up to all the way up to, I think 7 is the best that they can do. You basically have to have every other team in front of you win. And because Washington has the lowest tiebreaker of that group, because it goes by strength of schedule, lowest strength of schedule to best, obviously Washington with a first place schedule had a pretty tough one. So, if the Bears and the – who's the other team, Pete?
I know Bears, Vikings.
Because the two Saints teams that are in front of them both win, they would, and Washington lost. That's the only way to get up there. So you're talking about really a difference between just a couple of draft picks. And I think it's important for these guys to walk into the offseason. Not that they're going to have a good taste in their mouth because the season didn't end well, but you go out there and have a good performance and you can at least, pat yourselves on the back as you head in there. And I think that there's a pride factor that, Ron Rivera's talked about so much with his team, wanting them to go out there and play hard. And I think that's what makes, a game like this important to those guys. I think, they go out and play well, play hard. Then you kind of get that extra, proof that Ron still has the room and that these guys still care and that they're still playing for something bigger than just the 2021 season.
I hear you on the wanting to see them play hard and play well to maybe glean how much Ron still has control of this team. I do not buy at all this win carrying them into a great offseason or mattering at all. I think as soon as 4:07 hits on Sunday afternoon, this thing is over. No one's going to care about the result, and it's not going to have any impact on anything beyond Sunday afternoon. I think they're going to clearly play to win. Ron has said that. And there's also they can put in these certain guys, depth guys. They've had to play a lot of their depth already. So the younger players they put in, quote unquote, will have experience. Like De'Ami Brown's played some snaps, various others. Like Samus Reyes is the only guy really, or you can put Troy Apke at corner and maybe that's going to be pretty drastic. But for the most part, the roster they play on Sunday will have seen plenty. It's not like they can semi-tank or quasi-tank. But I think in the long run, them losing would be best for them, even though, as JP tweeted earlier this week, TJ Watt went 30. If you can find good players all over the draft board, I think when you want to maybe get a quarterback, being as high as possible for a trade or to draft one is what's best.
You have a better chance at finding better players the higher up you are, right? Like it's probabilities, but that doesn't mean you're going to find the right player. So I mean, I look at this one way. The Giants suck. You're going to have Jake Fromm at quarterback. I looked through their roster. The guys they have left are a collection of no names. They're in disarray. You should win because they suck, and it'll be embarrassing if you lose. So I'm kind of removing the draft aspect of this. Like, if you remember, I guess 2 years ago now, when the Giants played the then Redskins late in the year, it was the straight up Chase Young Bowl. The loser got the second pick. In that situation, play for draft status. This will be determined by so many factors. Just go out and beat the other team's ass because they're terrible. And I don't think that momentum carries to next year. But I think you don't want to lose to a terrible team right now. I'm not looking at next season. I'm looking at right now. Don't lose to the Giants. They're terrible.
Yeah, that's it. Good stance. I mean, it would be to cap this season off on a 5-game losing streak and have the fifth one be to the Jake Fromm-led Giants and the imploding Big Blue that apparently has so many people who want to come back to Joe Judge, which is the biggest lie ever. I get all that. But I do think, in March we'll be talking if they win and we'll see some of these draft boards, these mock drafts, and be like, damn, Washington could have been eighth, but they beat the Giants, which is fine. They should beat the Giants. But yeah, I think it's easy to say this now, but in a couple months we might rue a victory.
I go back to the pride thing because you have Joe Judge going out there and making these ridiculous comments about Washington's franchise when his own house is burning. And to the fact that the Giants have scored one touchdown in the 35 drives that they've had since Daniel Jones got hurt. Go back to the pride thing. These guys care. I'm not saying that's going to buoy them to like a winning offseason or to next year, but it's a pretty prideful group. And to go out there and lose to a team as bad as the Giants matters to the guys, and it'll matter to Ron. And I think it'll also tell us a lot about how maybe bought in these guys are to Ron's big picture thing. Because if they go out there and they play like they don't care and there's no effort, it kind of shoots a pretty big hole into all this culture that Ron's been building the past 2 years.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, we saw Jay Gruden teams dog it last week of the year in the Meadowlands. So let's see if they dog it. We'll see. I don't know. It's going to be an awful game. I feel pretty confident in that. I think the only other thing I wanted to address before we get to game balls and the Tress interview and stuff is I came up with this kind of theory or correlation. I completely understand why the Washington football team is unveiling their new jersey name, logo, everything on the Today Show, right? Today Show is the biggest morning program in the country. It's millions of people watch. It's a huge deal. I'm very pro Today Show. Craig Melvin is really cool. I got to meet him. I've talked to him. He's an actual Washington football team fan. I think he's one of the official ambassadors. It's a cool idea, but I think they're missing the boat doing the reveal in New York and not in DC, where the team plays and where their fans are. And that's not a novel point. That's not necessarily original. I think a lot of people feel that way, but where my correlation is I think it shows week after week after week. I say to both of you, when we're at FedEx Field, man, I can't believe how empty this place is. Man, I can't believe how many Chargers fans there are. I can't believe how many Cowboys fans there are. I can't believe how many Chiefs, whoever they're playing, Saints, how many of these people show up, Seahawks. I say that all the time to you guys. To me, making your name reveal in New York on the Today Show has a direct corollary to how empty the stadium is. And it's because you're not serving your fans first. Like, if you are serving your fans first on this, the decision, you every season ticket holder is at FedEx Field, and it's done at 6 o'clock at night when everybody can get there, or on a Sunday at 1 o'clock, whatever the timing works. And you reveal it first to your fans, and they feel like they get brought in the loop on something. Then you just push everything out on all your social channels, on your YouTube channel. And you know what's going to happen? The Today Show, SportsCenter, all of these other outlets are going to pick it up because it's huge news. Now, listen, we work for NBC. This is an NBC branded podcast. I love NBC. I wear the peacock with pride.
Oh, yeah, you do.
I wouldn't be stunned if there's some corporate synchronicity here between the Today Show and the Super Bowl being on NBC. But, like, this has to happen here where your fans are. And then, so I reached out. I spoke with a team source with the football team, and they made clear to me that there are going to be activations in the DMV area. And that's cool. On the day, on February 2nd, it feels like another example of not serving your fan base first. I get wanting the national exposure, and that I understand there are fans all over the country and all over the world that are Washington fans. But, like, on the Today Show, this is a 5-minute segment. Maybe it's a full 15-minute segment. Here, it's a month. It's all summer. It's everything here. Go ahead, Mitch.
So I think the first part of your point is at least has to play a part into it. And that's when you talk about all the Giants fans, all the Eagles fans, all the Saints fans that come to FedEx when they're there. This team can't afford to have a blowout event to announce the name and not have it sold out or not have it be filled. How, like, you talk about the optics and how embarrassing that would be. And I don't know right now that fans are willing to come out for this, especially with all the frustrations about Red Wolves and we don't like Commanders and whatever it may be. You can't afford to have that situation. So you talk about how this is an all summer thing. You do this for the 5-minute segment on national TV on the same network that they're in the Super Bowl, obviously our network, like you said, you know, and then you have local events, not just on February 2nd, but throughout the rest of the spring and through the summer, and kind of keep it as something building up. And hopefully you're not going to win back, you know, this fan base that's been eroded, which I think we can all agree is eroded. You're not going to win it back with one big grand gesture. You're going to win it back bits and pieces at a time. And I think opening yourself up to a situation where you look embarrassed and in front of the NFL, in front of national TV, in front of all that, by not having people show up to, you know, one of the biggest things that this team has done since, you know, who knows when, I think is a delicate balance here. And I agree, they need to do a better.
They keep playing the games.
What's that?
Happens every week, and they keep playing the games.
They're not going to not play the games, but they have no control about that.
And lots of little gestures. They're not mutually exclusive.
Certainly not. But I think
and optic- you can control this. This is a team-controlled event. This isn't a game where you have to sell the stadium out. Like, I think about the draft parties. Those draft day parties are packed with Washington fans, and you let them on the field, and you only have the lower level. Like, you can control this any way you want. It's your event. And if you – here's the thing that drives me nuts. You could do the Today Show live in Washington outside of the Lincoln Monument. Like, if the three of us can handle remote broadcasts, they can certainly handle remote broadcasts.
Yeah, what you're saying makes sense, JP. And I am not one to defend this organization. I've had people on Twitter all year tell me how I've gotten crankier and more jaded, and they don't like that. But it's just hard to not be when you see all the missteps. But in this one, I'm not too angry about it. I think the team can go with, we let the fans influence this process. And regardless of how much influence they've actually had, opening up the submissions, showing all these videos, taking these polls, they can say, we served our fans. And now it's time to put this rebrand on the biggest stage and show as many people as possible how great it looks, and announce it to the world. And that best platform that's available to them is the Today Show. I mean, yes, this team has a huge reach on Facebook and YouTube, and it's going to be tweeted and have all these things ready. But I think having on the Today Show in a nice studio where they have the graphics ready, it can all be rehearsed and go very, very smoothly is best, as opposed to letting it go to FedEx where the microphone cuts out or someone trips walking up the stairs. Like Dan Snyder introduced Ron Rivera and said, Happy Thanksgiving. Like, they need to have this thing completely locked down from step A to step Z. So I think they can do all the little activations, but they want this first rollout to go beautifully. And they'll do that in the nice glossy studios of the Today Show.
I don't disagree with either of you. I understand the logic. I understand the reasoning. I'm just saying, to me, it's an example why nobody's going to the games. Why things are eroding, because they just, people don't feel valued on some level. And to me, this is another example of it.
I certainly agree with you that the team needs to do a better job of serving its fans. And I think that it's that in some part, they tried to do it with some of the reach outs that they've done with the fan ambassadors and letting people influence the name and whatnot. But I think it's more about actual events and actual, you know, things to do in the DMV for these fans. And I think it's something that they can use this. They can continue this rollout up until the season and hope that the snowball keeps gaining size as it rolls down the field.
All right. Let's do game stuff, Pete. Take over.
All right. We'll do 100 chips first. The spread is Washington -7. The over-under is a scant 37.5. And I believe Mitch is leading this race with a tight edge over JP, and I'm lagging behind a decent amount. Mitch, why don't you go first then as the leader here on the T-box?
All right. I
leader on the T-box on 18.
Yep.
I don't know how big my lead is, and that would affect how I'm doing this, but F it. Give me 100 chips on a under 37.5.
All right. Under 37. I feel like you've made a lot of plays on the under this year. JP, you are next.
It's a quarterback league. I don't think Jake Fromm is good. I think Taylor Heinicke is at least not good. I'll lay the points. I think Washington's defense shows up. I think Ron legit plays this to win. I'm laying the 7.
Yeah, I think this is part me desperation trying to come back, but also I believe this. I think the Giants have completely quit. They have zero interest in doing anything for Joe Judge, and they have no talent. I'm going to take Washington on the most alternate line I can find, -20.5 at +425, all 100 chips.
Wow. You know what?
And also,
I'm not even going to get mad about alternate line.
Yeah, and thank you one more time to Mark Perino for dealing with this all year. You are very cherished amongst the three hosts. Okay, over-unders. We're going to have to make our own here. Heinicke around 230. That's usually where we've settled in the past month or so.
Sure.
All right. No debate amongst
the Heinicke gallery. They don't have a Heinicke song?
Well, nothing's out yet. We just do. We record these too early. They put them out on Friday and Saturday just because of all the COVID stuff.
All right. But like, if Heineke popped for COVID, wouldn't the bet just be void? Like, I don't know why they wouldn't have that. He's starting.
Yeah, but it affects all the other ones.
And they want to figure out the receivers. Yeah, all that good stuff. Gotcha. I'll go first. I think they let Taylor cut it loose. I think he's going to have a big old field day, way over. I think he might even tickle 330 and a half.
He's had one 300-yard season this game. One 300-yard game this season.
Yeah, let's double that in week 18. I don't even know what the weather is. Who knows? That could be a true determinant of this.
We've all been in New York at the end of the season. The wind whips through there. It's a miserably cold.
Weather always sucks in New York the last game of the year. It's butt cold.
Nothing will ever be worse than the Shanahan final game where Kirk threw 52 times and 32 degrees and rainy. But I'm going to go under 230 because the weather is going to be miserable. No one gives a crap. And I don't think I think they're going to try and get in and get out of here.
I drove to that game with Tariq El-Bashir. He rented a Volkswagen. Understand, he didn't want to put the miles on his car. And the car he rented reeked of cigarettes, just reeked of cigarettes. We left D.C. at 6 a.m. and drove home that night. Probably got home around 10, 11 o'clock. God awful.
What a fun day.
Yeah, it was awesome. Tarek's fun to hang out with, but not that fun. I will take under on Heineke. Safe side of the street.
Okay, we're going to do running back yards because Gibson is a little murky and Patterson's been pretty involved. I'm going to say 75 and a half. Cool. Okay.
I'll lead it off.
I'm going to – yeah, go Mitch, ahead. Go ahead.
Nope, I'll lead it off. I'll go over 75 and a half. I think Patterson is going to get to his first 100-yard game this year.
Juicy Lucy. All right, I'll go over as well. I'm not going to say that much, but I do think it's an over.
I'll go under. The Giants have actually played some decent defense. I'll go over as well because they're just going to be on the field the whole time.
Right.
That offense sucks. I'll go over.
Okay, do we want to do like Jake Fromm and Taylor Heineke combined turnovers? Do we want to do Terry McLaurin yards? What do we think here?
What does Terry need to get to 1,000?
He only needs like 40. It's not much.
What is Gibby to get to 1,000?
I think he needs 109. Yeah. There's no real milestones here.
There's no real milestones.
Like, will Joey Sly keep his perfect field goal streak alive?
Why don't we do like either Giants touchdowns or Giants touchdown drive scoring drives, maybe?
Giants touchdowns.
How about Giants passing yards?
All right, Giants passing yards. I believe last week they had
negative passing yardage.
And when Jake Fromm started, I think he had like 25 and a half, and then they pulled him in Philly.
Their leading receivers last week, the leading receptions guy had 2 for 0 yards, and their leading yardage guy, they had 2 guys with 1 catch for 12 yards.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
what are you setting this at?
99 and a half, like it's a effing running back.
I like that.
I don't think the Giants are going to do much on offense, but I do think they're going to get more than 100 yards passing. Give me over.
Screw it. I'll say under because they are just the worst, trashiest trash you've ever trashed.
Under. F it.
Hell yeah. All right. And lastly, the last one of the year also carries over to next year. Benjamin Franklin, put your kites in the sky, put on your bifocals, sit down in your library, and let's choose a good Benjamin Franklin score here. All right, I'll go first because no one is answering. Washington, I said they're going to win by 20 and a half at least. Washington 30, New York 6.
And that hits Mitch's under. I kind of like that.
Yep.
Everybody's I'm going to do – give me 26-9, Washington.
Like the weird score there.
Gotta go weird.
Yeah, because that's worked out for us every single week. We say this every week and it never hits.
Has the regular scores gone well either?
No, you just throw out a 17-15.
I really want Mitch's number. I'm like jealous. 25-8.
Oh,
eight.
Wow. Eight. That might be Scorigami.
I feel like that'd be Scorigami.
25 to 8, it's got to be Scorigami. I'm going to confess something here. I don't really know what Scorigami is. I just know it's something that's talked about all the time. Is that like a score that's never happened? Is it the scoring Kama Sutra? Like, what the hell is it?
It's the scoring Kama Sutra. It's a score that's never happened in the NFL. In NFL history.
JP, it would be Scorigami. That would be. If you Scorigami or Ben Franklin, I'll give you $200.
Whoa.
Like Pete, have we not learned to not just offer things up without there being another side to it?
I put it on the list to make sure. Okay, do we need to go to Tress here?
I think we do.
All right. Well, thanks to the listeners for listening to all these pregame pods. And we'll be in touch plenty over the offseason. And, of course, after Sunday's game in New York.
Appreciate you. Here's Tress.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Always a pleasure to get to sit down and talk to Washington punter and I believe longest tenured Washington football team player, Mr. Tress Way. Tress, unfortunately, you've had too many of these seasons that kind of end this way with a game at the end of the year that you're out of the playoff running. How do you stay locked in these situations?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me, and I've been very fortunate in the past with the coaches that I've had, and in particular, you know, with Coach Nate Katzer. I mean, what's really awesome to see these guys that, man, you're getting to meet them for the first time, the young guys, and whether it's draft picks or free agents and things like that, you get to see these young guys kind of like, you know, you're grooming them and they're learning and they're kind of getting their feet underneath them and things like that. And then here, you know, like, this real in-game experience that you really can't get any other time. I mean, you could say, you know, you got the preseason to get that feel and things like that, but dude, freaking in-game playing at New York against the Giants, like, and our special teams, we've got some serious battles. Like it's always been a chess match with them and our punt team, their punt return team, their kickoff coverage, our kickoff return. And so the game within the game is always very much alive, especially whenever you're playing some division rivals that it's easy to play with a little bit of an edge at.
Well, and I believe you have a perfect passer rating in the Meadowlands. Is that accurate?
That is accurate, man. Thank you for bringing that up.
That was a fun one, man. Was that week 3, 16?
I think it was 16. It may have been 15 or 16, but dude, it is every time. So I know their punter, Riley Dixon, and I'll be like, hey man, I know it sounds cheesy, but when you guys scout me, like, is there anything like, can you tell if I'm going left or right? Do you know what's up? And he's like, dude, all we do is just see just the video of you passing. They're like, all right, this dude can freaking throw. And I was like, all right, that's kind of sweet too. I'll take that.
That's cool. Yeah. And I remember the play. It was Quentin Dunbar on the right side. Was he lined up as the gunner in that spot?
And he was on the left side. And Dunny, it's so funny. Dunny's out there. He's a D-back for us because he had a tough time catching the ball as a wide receiver.
Right.
And so I remember Coach Scott Wieke calls it, and I grab Sundberg like by the shoulder pads. I go, Nick, are we freaking running this? Like, and he goes, yeah, dude, it's on. And Nick jokes around too. If you look back at the film, he snaps it and he's supposed to be in protection. That dude snaps it and he just turns it. He's like, dude, I just wanted to watch. So yeah, it was, I'll never forget that one for sure.
You also missed your first game, I think, ever in a Washington uniform.
Dude.
COVID, did you have symptoms? How are you feeling? How was it to miss a game?
Yeah. So on Thursday I came in and I was just a little more tired than normal. I'm kind of like an annoying morning person and I love coffee too. So I usually got the juice in the morning and I was kind of dragging tail a little bit, not feeling that good. And then I did my Thursday morning workout. And after I get done with that workout, and JP, dude, my workouts are not that hard. And when I got done with my workout, I was hurting. Like I couldn't really stand up. I had to keep sitting down, all this crap. And I talked to Coach Nate. I talked to Coach Ron. And I said, guys, I really think that I should test. And I was so nervous because I just had a feeling, you know, it's spreading around like crazy. And I just, in the back of my head, I just kept thinking, it's freaking Philly. We need to win. And I've got a heck of a streak going. And like, so sure enough, I came back positive. By Friday afternoon, my symptoms were kind of minimal. Saturday, asymptomatic. Sunday, asymptomatic. And I found out they had to turn in the roster by 4 p.m. on Saturday. And I'd learned that Sunday morning. So I went to bed Saturday night with some hope in my heart. And dude, that, I've heard teammates that get hurt in the past, like talk about how weird it is to watch a game and think, dude, that's a sucky feeling, man. Like you're just sitting there and I was way more into the game than I thought I'd be. I was sitting there, I had a Pacifico in hand, good to go with the dogs watching and cheering my guys on. But man, I was yelling at the TV and that was just and I know everybody's having different fights with it. Dude, it just sucked to be asymptomatic, sitting there watching your guys play. And then obviously it really sunk in that I had not missed a dang game since I got here in 2014. I'm very thankful for that. But now freaking Cheeseman's got a longer active streak than I do. And he's a rookie. And that doesn't sit well with me, man.
Just start a new one and go another 6 years. in a way, were you more locked in watching on TV? Because on the sideline during the game, like yes. You're practicing punting, you're yes. Over there talking with the other specialists. Like,
dude, that's spot on. Like I was watching everything. I was paying attention to the offensive line's protection and the defensive line's hot pursuit. Like I was actually noticing everything going on during the game instead of, like you said, man, you're just kind of, you get in your own world of being locked in whenever your number is called. And so, yeah, I got to be a fan for a day. And don't get me wrong. Like it is so cool. Bear with me. It was cool to see in that light, like, man, just you get locked in that game and you get locked in your role. Dude, I genuinely just missed being out there with the guys. And I don't think you really experience that until it's kind of, you know, taken away from you. And so I hope I don't ever have to do it again. But yeah, I definitely saw the game in a different light, man.
So with the playoff door closed now, the biggest news this week has become the name. Yeah. You've been here long enough. You played for the Redskins.
Yeah.
Now you got 2 years of Washington football team under your belt.
Yeah.
How excited are you for February 2nd?
Dude, I'm just really hoping for just a dope hat that I could wear backwards. I mean, I think that that'd be so sweet. I'm genuinely looking forward to it. And I think the thing that I'm most pumped about is whenever they did that promo video where, you know, you got Doug and Martin talking and at the field and things like that. And then they start flashing all like a few different portraits of guys. And dude, I made the crack. They cracked my face in there on the portraits of guys that make up our team. Definitely honored to be on that video. And so other than that, I'm just going to anxiously be waiting to see what it is. And then, that's a good idea, dude. When I get back downstairs, I'm going to go on and put in for a hat ASAP as soon as the new name comes.
That's going to be a hot commodity. Do you have a prediction for the name?
You know, I think that the Washington Ways would just be a little overkill. I think that's not the way to go. I saw a couple fans write that one in. I was honored, but I don't think that's the route. I definitely love, and it's funny because I'm with the rest of the fans and I'm with you guys trying to like piece together all the little things of what it could be. Dude, anything, I mean, our organization has been around for so freaking long. And that's just like not every team can say that. And so being true to DC, being true to like our history and the rich history, things like that, I'd love to see a cool throwback, you know, of anything tying into that. But I mean, that's just, you're just asking for the punter's 2 cents on that one, man. I'm down to be here regardless.
It looks like they're going to introduce some black to the uniform, and I've heard that there could be black alternate uniforms. Would you be pretty into like adding more? I think the NFL league wide, there's a change next year that teams can have two helmets. Like, are you into all the alternate stuff?
Yes. You know, as a Sooner, I believe that we have some of the freaking sweetest alternate road UDs, the Road Warriors. So I'm definitely down for a little bit of black in there. And I've been told that black is slimming as well. So that might help me out in the swag department. But dude, that would be, you know, it's funny. I saw that helmet, like where it kind of looked like it was a black helmet or something. Definitely in for that, man. That'd be sweet.
Certainly. Do you notice any of this Joe Judge stuff? Does that cross your radar where he said in a post-game comment about, hey, Joe Judge, coach of the Giants, said, hey, at least we don't have guys punching each other on the sideline?
Yeah, you know, I heard that whenever I was home in my quarantine. I had SportsCenter on for like the freaking 9,000th time or however long I had to watch them. But, you know, whenever I play against the Giants now with Coach Judge as their coach, he's a former special teams guy and big special teams guy. So it's always, you know, it's cool when you see a special teams coach getting that nod to be the head guy. And then you also, I mean, you want to try and do your part and change the game against that kind of coach. But dude, that's just all kind of part of the game within the game. And I tell you what, you got people dealing with things all the time that say stuff like that. Dude, I'd take Ron Rivera on my team any day, and the way he handles everything and how he coaches us as a person, as a player, dealing with things like that. I'm happy to be a part of this organization here, and we'll see what happens on Sunday, man.
Certainly. Pete had a question for you before we let you go. I know you got to get to meetings.
Yeah, you're good. What's up, Pete?
Hello, Tress, as I pop onto the Zoom. You're clearly a hell of a punter. I think second only to your punting ability has been your TV hosting ability. Your show, Hang Time, this year has been seriously a treat to watch. And I watch a lot of stuff on TV and the internet. I hate on a lot of stuff, as JP knows, but your show's been phenomenal. What's it been like being the host of that, organizing guests, thinking of questions, and how the hell are you doing so well at it?
Well, you know, I just think about this Washington Football Talk podcast that I've been invited on a number of times. And I've just got to see excellence in its form in Richmond through Zoom. And so I think I just kind of channel a little bit of Mitch, a little bit of Pete, a little bit of JP. And basically, whenever they told me they wanted to be a podcast and I don't have to talk about what cover two is because I don't know what cover two is or different protections with the offensive line, I get to watch a couple highlights with my buddies and then talk a little shop. My number one rule is that I don't have to read anything. I'm not a strong reader, never have been. And so as long as they don't give me bullet points that I have to freaking read word for word and I can just kind of chill, it's been all right, man. But I tell you what, I'm very thankful to have your approval, and it's really been a good time. Our team here has done an awesome job with it. The guests have been hysterical, and then freaking Cheese with his cheese breaks, man. He's just top. So
yeah.
You get to Ron and McAfee?
No, dude. So I'm like, if you've got Pat McAfee, I'm like diet Pat McAfee. That dude is the trail. He's like the trailblazer, and just nobody could touch Pat. And like who he is, his personality, that dude, he freaking cracks me up, man. So if I can be, you know, like in the little subcategory of that, like, all right, we got another punter that likes to mess around. Honored, freaking honored. Yeah.
Yeah. The highlight of the show, I think, has been when you asked Cam Curl to name the three most populous cities.
Orlando!
You said it ends in an O, and he said, Orlando? And you're like, no, Chicago. That was phenomenal television podcasting.
Oh, man. Yeah, dude. The guests have been great. And Cam Curl's dad, man, he's been gassing me up ever since then in a good way. He's been another one of my hype guys, so I'm pumped for that, man. Yeah.
I have to run. I'm happy to let you two keep chatting. I got a sick little girl at home. I just wanted to say how much I appreciated you shouting out Grant and Danny as your favorite radio program during your podium session.
Whoa. Favorite?
That did happen.
Did I say the word favorite? I did
Grant
not.
Grant and Danny. You didn't say favorite.
I just said I was listening to Grant and Danny. You guys understand surely that all has to do with what time I turn the radio on. I don't, like, come on, guys.
I wasn't even Pete got, all I saw was Pete's tweet. That's all I saw.
What are you freaking saying now, man? What are you doing?
I just said the Tressway shouted out Grant and Danny. I tagged Grant and Danny on Twitter, and I did it to highlight them, but also to maybe rile up JP, which I think I might have done.
Man, seriously.
Wait till I tell B Mitch. Wait till he finds out.
Yeah, what the heck, man? What just happened? What's going on?
I'm just messing with you, dude. Go out there and kick some ass on Sunday. I think.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
We've both been in the Meadowlands for a number of these matches where there's not a ton on the line. Mm-hmm. And I think Joe Judge might have given you guys a little juice when you could use it.
No doubt, man. Yeah, I know. I always love playing there. I think that stadium is sick, and you play the Giants twice every year, but there's been some added juice in there for sure, man.
Tress, we appreciate your time always, man.
Yeah, it's good talking with you guys, man.
Well, let's schedule another one of these maybe like before the Super Bowl. We'll do a Super Bowl preview, and we'll do it in the evening when nobody has any responsibilities and perhaps we enjoy ourselves.
Okay.
But after Grant and Danny, only after you're done listening to your guys.
Dude, unbelievable.
He's gassing him up like Cam Curl's dad.
All right, Tress.
I got to move my bucket now.
All right, see you guys, man.
Thanks, dude. Man. This is fun.
The car he rented reeked of cigarettes, just reeked of cigarettes.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.